On December 27th, 2 days after the failed bombing attempt of Flight 253, the Obama administration deployed Press Secretary Robert Gibbs and Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano to the Sunday morning news shows.
One thing I'd like to point out is that the system worked. Everybody played an important role here.
Republicans pounced on Napolitano's claims, arguing that the administration's comments, as well as the fact that the president hadn't cut short his Christmas vacation to comment personally, were evidence that Obama did not take the terror threat seriously enough. His critics insist that the administration's rhetoric has been too weak and that the message that the U.S. will not defend itself is a signal that terrorists abroad are receiving loud and clear. Historian Joshua Geltzer, author of U.S. Counterterrorism Strategy and Al-Qaeda, Signaling and the Terrorist Worldview, says that U.S. presidents can signal two ways, through rhetoric and action. George W. Bush's exhortation to Al-Qaeda to bring it on was one instance of rhetorical signaling, while Bill Clinton's 1998 missile strikes on Afghanistan and Sudan, which came in response to terrorist attacks on American embassies abroad, were examples of signaling through actions. According to Geltzer, the tricky part about signaling is that U.S. presidents have to communicate with at least two audiences at once. Their words and actions are interpreted not just by terrorists, but by U.S. citizens at home, not to mention allies abroad. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
One of the difficulties that you observe in your book is that the job of signaling potential terrorist adversaries is that it works often at cross purposes with the job of reassuring the American public about our nation's resolve and about their own security. Can you reassure the American public without giving your terrorist enemies the opportunity to exchange high fives?
It certainly is a tension, and it may be that the best way to try to address that is not in the immediate wake of an attack, when the public really does seek reassurance, but in calmer periods. And I would emphasize the role of the government as educator of the American public that terrorism really is a strategy of provocation. On a strategic level, it relies on the fear and, in turn, political overreaction in the wake of a terrorist attack. And so to the extent that this administration can use a period of calm as something of an opportunity to explain that it is in what we do after a terrorist attack that a terrorist either sees success or failure in what they're trying to do, that might be the best way, because not only does it strengthen ourselves a bit at home, but to the extent that terrorist groups see that education of a sort in progress, it may make terrorism less appealing or apparently less effective as a way to approach a country like the U.S.
Your fundamental conclusion is that a lot of bellicose talk and bluster is counterproductive, eh?
Yeah, there can be a lot of things that would seem useful against a traditional state adversary that really are counterproductive against a terrorist group. A state generally does not seek retaliation from its adversary. A terrorist group generally does. Its strategy relies on eliciting some sort of retaliation. In the wake of 9/11, the U.S. quite publicly spent a lot of money building up our homeland security, and there are obviously valid reasons for doing that, and to some extent there are valid reasons for wanting to publicize it, because it does seem intuitive that certain terrorists or potential terrorists might be deterred. But if you look at what terrorists seized upon in America's reaction to 9/11, they do mention the extent that a terrorist strategy can lead a counterterrorist government to divert its own resources towards things it wouldn't ordinarily want to spend on, such as massive barricades at every airport, not to mention broader expenses like counterterrorist aid to other governments, and really the biggest are our expenses in Afghanistan and Iraq. That is part of what terrorists seek to elicit with their attacks.
Would you recommend to a president of the United States, in the event of a successful attack, maybe in which hundreds or thousands of lives are lost, that he similarly understate the response, that we don't go into full mobilization mode, we don't give succor to our terrorist enemies by overreacting even when the damage is catastrophic?
I think that to the extent that we can react effectively but quietly, that combination is ideal, or at least the best of various tough alternatives. So to take an example, I think this administration, which has actually ramped up the predator strikes along the Afghanistan-Pakistan border, has spoken about them less than the previous administration did. So even while engaging in more of them, it said less about them. Now, we don't know exactly how successful these attacks have been, but the idea of doing them quietly and not exulting in particular successes may allow for the practical success without the counterproductive signaling.
Well, Josh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joshua Geltzer is a historian, author of U.S. Counterterrorism Strategy and Al-Qaeda, Signaling and the Terrorist Worldview.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.